The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
You've heard the old song, "To Trust and Obey." Well, we're going to talk about trust and obedience and how they're related on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and welcome aboard. We're taking questions from listeners just like yourself. In fact, if you've got questions you'd like to send us, I hope you will, you can reach us through email. Send to radio@faithalone.org, and you can reach us that way. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's take some questions here. Here's one from Robert. Robert says, "Is trust and obedience the same thing? Because trust isn't faith, so does that mean it equals obedience?"
No, I don't think trust is quite the same thing as obedience. For example, let's say I trust my doctor to do his very best to do hernia surgery on me.
Yeah.
I had hernia surgery in, I think it was 95. I went and I had surgery. That didn't mean I committed myself to obey that doctor.
Sure.
I'm not following him around. I'm not his servant. I don't even know his name anymore. He was a good surgeon. I trusted him to do the surgery.
Right.
So you could trust God for something. Let's say you trust God that your marriage is going to work out.
Yeah.
But you don't have to obey God to trust him that your marriage is going to work out.
Yeah. Those are two different things, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to think about my kids. Sometimes I ask them, listen, just trust me. This plane is going to get us to Canada, let's say. Just trust, believe what I'm saying. But then obeying is something like, you know, don't hit your sister.
Right.
Now, you know,
right,
is there a difference there? Now, the trust can motivate the obedience. You know, if I'm like, trust me, this plane is going to get us to Canada. Now get on the plane. Getting on the plane is the obedience.
But now trust, the way you used it there, is a synonym for believing. And
I
sometimes
guess so.
It is.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
It is. But when I trust a doctor to do surgery, I do not believe that he's infallible. I do not believe that he guarantees I'm going to have a successful surgery.
Sure.
I knew when I went on that table that it could go badly. I could even die.
Sure.
Even a simple hernia surgery.
Sure.
The truth is, when we believe in Jesus for everlasting life, it's a guarantee.
Well, our faith isn't infallible. Our faith isn't guaranteed.
He's infallible.
Yeah.
But we are convinced that this is absolutely guaranteed. Whereas trusting oftentimes is simply saying, this is my best option.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
I remember I heard, I was at a conference, and at the end of the conference, they had an evangelistic rally, invited in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the pastor gave the closing remarks, and when he was giving his closing remarks, he had a sinner's prayer at the end.
Yeah.
And part of the prayer is, I don't understand everything that's been said tonight, but as best I can, I'm trusting in Jesus as my only hope of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, trusting in Jesus as my only hope of heaven is basically saying he's my best shot.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Not that I'm convinced that he's guaranteeing me I'm going to heaven when I die. It's just he's my best shot.
Yeah.
Well, lots of people would pray that prayer.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They'd go, hey, this gives me another chance. Because maybe the Catholic way is right, so I've been baptized in the Catholic Church, and I go to Mass, and I go to confession. But, hey, maybe the Protestants are right, so I've prayed their prayer, and I've trusted Jesus as my only hope of heaven. Besides, that's essentially the Catholic way, except, wait a minute, the Church is also part of my only hope of heaven, and Mary's also part of my only hope of heaven. But still, I'm okay, and I've got that bridge covered.
So what you're saying is trust can be less than certain, but belief is always certain.
Well, not only that, many people who use the word trust mean commitment. And so many people who mean trust say that you have made a decision to follow Christ. It's not the same as initial obedience. It's what precedes the obedience.
Well, so
I've made a commitment to follow Christ.
So maybe Robert is right. Maybe some people do equate trust and obedience.
Right.
When they say trust, what they really mean is you got to obey.
Or at least it's that which leads to obedience, because I've made a commitment. A lot of people, if you, it's not just Lordship Salvation people. There are even people who call themselves Free Grace that will say faith is trust, and then they go on to say this is commitment to the claims of Christ. Right. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
It's more than mental assent.
They'll say it's more than mental assent.
It's trust, and it is hard to know what they mean because people use words in different senses, and so there's all kinds of different combinations of definitions of these words.
But in a sense, I think what Robert means is believe different than obedience, and the answer is yes.
I think that's absolute. That's clear because belief is something that happens in your mind, and obedience is something that happens in your behavior. That'd be kind of one simple difference. Also, believing is kind of passive. You know, you're being persuaded that a proposition is true, and obedience is something that you're actually doing actively.
That is what Calvin called belief. He called it passive.
Right. It's like I wake up and I'm looking out the window right now and I can see a tree and I'm forming the belief that, yeah, there's a tree and there's... I don't know. Did we answer Robert's question? Maybe we did. I'm not quite sure.
That was the whole question?
Well, yeah. It's just a short one.
Okay.
It's a short one. Okay. Here's one from Jacob. He says, my name is Jacob, I'm 20 years old, and I'm from Massachusetts. And this is a very long email, but let me just kind of pick out the essentials. He was talking to a youth pastor, and it turned out the youth pastor was a Calvinist. And they're asking, he said, I began to ask him if someone had no works to prove that they were born again, are they still born again? And he began to say that if a professed believer didn't have works to back up their belief, then he would question whether or not they were actually born again. He kept basing his assurance on our works. So, and this is Jacob's asking, so if someone believes and is instantly secure the moment they believe, then surely they don't need works to prove that their faith is real, right?
Jacob's absolutely right, and I saw a copy of this email because it came into my inbox. Basically, if I remember it correctly, he said that the youth pastor he was talking to was actually the person that led him to faith in Christ.
Oh.
And it's very disturbing to him that here's this spiritual leader who he started hearing things that made him wonder what he held to. And so he went and asked him these questions about, well, what if there aren't observable good works?
Yeah.
And so then he talked about demon faith in James 2:19, and he talked about faith without works is dead. Those are gross misunderstandings of James chapter 2. They're also a denial, essentially, that justification is by faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the view that you're justified by faith plus works.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a good friend of mine named Mike. Mike came to faith while in high school out in Northern California in the San Francisco area. Later, when he was in the same church, the person who had led him to Christ started saying some things that sounded a little off, and people in the youth group started talking about Lordship Salvation.
Oh.
And it became pretty clear over time that everybody else held to Lordship Salvation. And Mike ended up and had to leave the church and met with the youth pastor and then the senior pastor and told them, I do not feel comfortable staying here because of this view. And Mike had read Absolutely Free by Zane Hodges,
mm-hmm.
and he became convinced that Lordship Salvation, though well-intentioned, was a view that misleads people. So I think what Jacob's undergoing is what my friend Mike has undergone, and that is suffering for Jesus. We may not think of that because these people aren't persecuting Jacob, but the fact is he's tormented by their theology.
Right. So he goes on. He says, I just feel super weird that I'm always the odd one out now.
Right.
And he says, is it really possible that so many Christians don't even believe the saving message, and they only claim to be believers by their works and not by belief?
Yes, the vast majority of people in Christianity today do not believe the promise of everlasting life by faith apart from works. But that doesn't mean that the vast majority of people in Christianity are not born again. Many of them could have believed in the past and become confused and misled. And that could happen to any of us, right? I mean, you or I are not guaranteed that we're going to stay within the Free Grace camp. That's our aim, and that's our aim for Jacob as well.
Right.
But the truth is, Jacob could be influenced by the people around him, but he'd still be born again, even if he defected.
Right.
So the truth is, we don't know what percentage of people in Christianity are born again, but we do know that the only people who are born again are those who have believed in the gift of God, which is everlasting life, and the giver, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, John 4:10.
That's right. And so he goes on to say, you know, I struggle with anxiety and overthinking, and I constantly pursue truth when I'm unsure about something. I'm trying to find true inner peace. I worry about everything, and I don't want to be in a position that is wrong. I know that peace is found in Christ, but I can't seem to find exactly where all the noise is coming from, the other views bombarding my mind. I sympathize with that because finding the truth is really hard, and especially when it comes to biblical truth, it seems like when you read the Bible, the majority was always wrong. You know, it was always a minority of people that kept to the truth. And that's just a hard position to be in. And I never thought it before as suffering for Christ, but I guess that is what it is.
I mean, read Galatians. Paul was tormented by the doctrine of the Judaizers.
Right.
And it's a godly thing to be tormented by that. So, by the way, I would say that Jacob is right on the money for pursuing truth. And one final thing I would say, I come out of an alcoholic family. I, too, deal with a lot of anxiety. I've had lots of panic attacks over my lifetime, and I do cast my cares upon him, and he helps me with them, but that doesn't mean they all go away.
Right.
I still have to deal with the fact that because of the way I grew up, etc., I deal with the inner thinking that's contrary to what God wants.
Mm.
The truth is, if you're a perfectionist, that's always going to be the case, and sounds like Jacob might be in my club. And by the way, I have a group called Perfectionists Anonymous.
All right, Jacob, I got to say, I'm really encouraged by reading this email. 20 years old, and you're already kind of getting a grasp of the issues here. And I think just keep on going, because people in Massachusetts need to hear the grace message. And you say in your email that you really don't know of any grace people around you. Well, then you are the grace voice in Massachusetts. And that's a big responsibility. But it sounds like you're sharing that simple message one person at a time. And that is truly pleasing to God, I'm sure. We want to hear from you. Massachusetts, Nebraska, Alaska, I don't know. We love to hear from our listeners. Send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. We'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss who created God. So join us for that interesting episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.